Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Friday, time for the Week in Review, and we'll begin with continued allegations of sexual abuse and harassment locally and nationally. The latest against Senator Al Franken, that from radio host Leanne Tweeden.
And he comes up and he grabs me and he puts his hand behind my head and he aggressively comes in and he mashes his mouth up against mine and he sticks his tongue in my mouth. I was violated. I was disgusted. That's not what I was expecting.
And Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore says he is not backing down despite numerous reports.
I'm now facing allegations, and that's all the press want to talk about. But I want to talk about the issues. I want to talk about where this country's going. And if we don't come back to God, we're not going anywhere.
And locally, gymnast and Olympian Allie Raceman of Needham is speaking out about abuse by the USA Gymnastics team doctor.
I'm not going to stop until I get what I want, which is change. And I don't want the current generation and the next generation of athletes or, you know, kids around the world to ever have to go through this again.
And the Berklee College of Music president this week says the school has fired some 11 faculty members for sexual misconduct over the past 13 years. Here's senior Georgetta Sesserman.
I wish that they took responsibility for the way that they were handling these cases. This is the safety of our students. This is the safety of us and our survivors and the way that we heal.
So joining us now to discuss is Reverend Mariama White-Hammond. She's a minister of the Bethel AME Church in Jamaica Plain, also an activist and organizer. Reverend White-Hammond, it's good to see you again.
Great to be here.
Also with us, Joe Battenfeld, Boston Herald political columnist and host of Battenfeld on Boston Herald Radio. Joe, it's good to have you back as
Thanks, great to be here.
So let me just start with the basic question. I mean, we played all of those clips because those were all from this week, and that's just scratching the surface. Just the volume of the allegations and the reports and the people coming forward seems overwhelming, Reverend White-Hammond. What do you make of that?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I think if I got a group of my friends in a room and started trading stories, I mean, we'd be up all night. Everybody, as a woman, I don't know any woman that hasn't experienced sexual harassment. Some people are in jobs where they experience it weekly. Some of us are in jobs where we're a little bit more surprised. I mean, even as a minister, wearing my collar, I've had men come on to me inappropriately. So if you are not worried that God's going to strike you for being inappropriate with a minister, I mean, you can imagine that folks, you know. So I think, unfortunately, sexual harassment is just been such a part of our society. What's exciting to me is we're finally calling it out and we're finally saying it's not acceptable. I don't know exactly why this was the moment of tipping point, but I'm glad it's come.
So has this happened to you too?
I'm not joking. I have literally had people say, oh, are you a minister? And I say, yeah. And then they go, oh, I didn't know there were ministers that look like that. And you're like, really? Is that the first thing that came to your mind? So, I mean, any woman who spends time walking down the street, you know, unfortunately, this is far too commonplace. But I'm glad we're finally talking about it and doing something.
Joe, your thoughts?
I certainly have heard a lot of stories about this over the years. I worked in politics a lot. I worked down in Washington. The stories I heard were pretty frightening from women. It's rampant down there among elected officials, among staff members. It's way too common. I've heard stories about it, and I'm glad it's coming to the forefront now. And I know at the State House, other places, they're working to put in official policies now against harassment. You shouldn't need a policy against harassment. There needs to be more than just a change in these policies. There's got to be really a change in attitude, I think. And I think it's all these allegations coming forward, all these reports coming forward, I think is pushing this issue forward and forcing men to deal with it. And I think it's good that people are getting called out on it.
Yeah. So what's interesting to me is that people absolutely are getting called out. This is not a problem that belongs to only one side of the aisle or another.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, I say that because I also wanted to just read a tweet from the president on the Al Franken issue. President Trump tweeted that the Al Frankenstein picture is really, really bad, speaks 1,000 words. Where do his hands go in picture 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 while she sleeps? And of course, I mean, we remind ourselves that President Trump is on the record during the campaign of like admitting that he grabs women against their will.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, he's still in the White House.
Well, I'm surprised. I didn't even think about that. There might be other pictures, but, you know, I think there's a possibility that the president can imagine because maybe he's done something similar. I mean, maybe, you know, so I mean, when you openly talk about groping people, you know, that's really concerning.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad that Al Franken has come out and admitted it. I think the truth is, and I think this is where it gets hard, is that a lot of behaviors that we consider being quote-unquote manly or that we dismiss as being, you know, guys being guys are sexual harassment. And so I think that this question of not just getting people to talk about specific incidents, but to talk about the culture that makes people think that these things are either okay. And sometimes I've seen people blatantly sexually harassing people and other people are laughing about it. So it's not even just that things are happening in silence or in secret places. I've seen it happen openly in the public and nobody steps in.
So, Joe, let me get your take on the Roy Moore situation in Alabama, because there we have the opposite, right? He's doubling down.
He is doubling down, and basically he's pulling a Donald Trump here is what he's doing. He's basically saying the Washington establishment is against me. The Washington Post, Mitch McConnell, they're all against me. And it's certainly worked for Trump. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. I know this is hard to believe. I would not be surprised at all if Roy Moore won.
Right.
Because there's certainly a feeling if he turns this into the Washington politicians are against me instead of the actual allegations that are against him, I think that works in his favor. And I mean, I know the polls show him, I think, trailing a little bit, but I wouldn't trust polls on this one. It's a strategy that he's using.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this really does just sort of lay bare my cynicism that I feel sometimes about politics, because both in the 2016 election and with the Roy Moore situation, I feel like we're seeing how in America right now, we are in a place where at times politics and political allegiances can trump Trump can come before decency, right? Because I mean, here we have Roy Moore, who this week his lawyer came out and said he wanted to see the yearbook, this photo of the yearbook, saying that maybe his signature in the yearbook was fraudulent, so throwing conspiracy theory into there.
Right.
Whereas we have a number of people who are making serious allegations against him. There's the stories about him being banned from the local mall because of his behavior. I mean, lots and lots and lots of stuff. And yet I agree with you. I think that the polling coming out of Alabama right now, I'm not sure if we can entirely trust it, because people may not want to tell pollsters they still are going to vote for Moore.
I agree. I wouldn't trust the polls on this right now. Exactly what you said. They may not be willing to tell pollsters they're voting for Moore. And certainly the stories, the reports against him are horrifying, to say the least, if even a partial portion of that is true. But it is going to be something the voters have to decide, I think. If they try to expel him, if he is elected, it's very interesting to see what will happen. What's going to happen if they try to expel him? Mm-hmm. Are they going to try to expel Al Franken too if they do that? So it opens up all kinds of questions, and I think the, you know, unfortunately, it is going to have to come to the voters, and he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So, Reverend White Hammond, I have a question for you about the Roy Moore situation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one thing that some of his supporters were saying over the course of this week and last week was, you know, one of the women accusing him of sexual assault really was 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were seeing
Mary
comments. We were seeing people say, well, maybe it's okay because Mary was a teenager when she became mother to Jesus. I mean,
I don't know if people are being, I have a hard time believing that people are very serious in that they really spent time praying about that, and that is something God revealed to them. I mean, I think the reality is, as you mentioned, unfortunately, and this happens on all sides, we say we believe in something, and Sometimes we put partisan politics and other agendas ahead of common sense, our basic values. So, you know, I do think this is a reckoning as a person of faith and particularly as a Christian. It is disturbing to me how many Christians are supporting him anyway. He's using this whole idea that he's under attack and it's demonic forces. And I'm like, it's the demonic forces that had you putting your hands on children. That is the evil. And that either, if you can't admit that and start from there, but unfortunately, people of faith are not exempt from being hypocritical. And I think, unfortunately, too many Christian leaders in Alabama are, you know, that's what I would say is going on right now.
So, you know, in the spirit of journalistic integrity and full transparency, I also want to mention that NPR this week had ongoing issues with allegations of harassment and hostile work culture there at NPR. NPR's own media correspondent David Folkenflik has been reporting that on Wednesday, the chairman of NPR's board announced that he was stepping down. And according to a source, the board chair is the subject of a complaint filed with NPR. Another senior editor has been put on leave right now as NPR has to investigate allegations against him as well. Many female and women reporters and editors and producers at NPR beginning to come forward saying that the work environment there has been extraordinarily difficult for them. So, you know, it seems like there isn't a single institution that hasn't been touched by this yet. But I actually wanted to read something very briefly to both of you and get your thoughts on this right now, because everyone's talking about different allegations that range from being made to feel uncomfortable, which is a thing, but made to feel uncomfortable, to assault, right? But we're having a conversation about all of it now, day in and day out. And there was a really interesting article in the Daily Beast this week from author Erin Gloria Ryan. And she wrote this graph that I just want to read to both of you. She said, right now, the court of public opinion is faced with the awkward task of assigning degrees of severity to sexual misconduct because while they all cause harm, they don't all cause the same amount of harm and thus don't merit the same punishment. Are we talking about that enough, or is the fervor so high right now that everything seems bad?
I don't think we are talking enough about it. I agree with that everything's been lumped into sort of the same category here. What George Bush did is being lumped into what Roy Moore did, and they are not the same. Mm-hmm. And some people are obviously... If anybody did anything like this, they deserve scrutiny on this, no matter what degree it is. But I agree that we are, that they're in the fervor to report all these stories. You see all the pictures, even on TV, of all these people being accused, and they all did very different things.
Mm. Right. No, I completely agree. I mean, I think the reality is, again, I'm not dismissing any of the claims against anybody, but we've had a culture of acceptance for a long time. Mm.
The whole spectrum of behaviors.
It's not like this changed overnight. Our conversation is evolving. Our conversation is opening up, and we're talking about it more publicly. And there are some places where people have caused so much harm that they need to be held accountable. And there are other instances where, there has been harm, but what we ultimately need to do is talk about it and make sure it doesn't happen again. And finding where that line is going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
And I think we need to make sure that we're not doing it in a partisan way, because the reality is, my guess is, many more men than are being accused have done this. Mm-hmm. And they've done it because they watched their fathers do it, and they watched their grandfathers do it, and they got rewarded for it on the playground and have continued that. So this is a reality. And even, you know, women, there are ways in which we are being inappropriate and treating each other wrong. And now we need to figure out what is the right way to behave, start teaching that, start holding people accountable for it. And I think there will also be some need for forgiveness for some folks. And we need to figure out where that line of punishment forgiveness mm-hmm. is. But I hope the bigger thing is that we as a society stop accepting some of these behaviors, because it is a slippery slope.
Yeah. Well, I'm sad to say that I think we're probably going to talk about it again next week, since this is not going away anytime soon. So let's turn now to another major piece of news from this week, and this right here in Massachusetts, because it has to do with the Massachusetts State Police, as the two top officials there are out after a federal lawsuit by two troopers who alleged that they were ordered to alter a police report to remove embarrassing information about the daughter of a judge. So we've got some tape here. This is from Wednesday. And the new state police superintendent, Colonel Kerry Gilpin, was sworn in by Governor Baker, replacing Colonel Richard McCune. Here's Governor Baker.
Look, the colonel made very clear that he initiated this. We also made very clear we thought it was a mistake. We also made very clear that the state police needs to clean up and make more explicit its policies and protocols associated with editing arrest reports. And so we believe those observation reports should be removed from those two troopers' files.
And yesterday, Congressman Stephen Lynch told Boston Herald Radio that he thinks incidents like this undermine the public's faith in law enforcement.
It should be intolerable, unacceptable. You know, I think for law enforcement to be asked by a superior, whether a civilian or otherwise, to alter what they know to be the truth is unconscionable.
Especially when it's to protect the reputation of a judge. I mean, Joe Battenfeld, what is going on?
Yeah,
here?
I've covered this story, and Governor Baker, you could hear it in his voice, sounds very defensive to me. He bungled this. He came out right away and did a very quick, I don't even know if it was an investigation, what it was exactly. You could hear it. He said, we determined that the colonel made clear that he initiated it. It's like, well, okay, let's believe the colonel. Then I guess we can stop the investigation because the colonel said he initiated it. I mean, he would not do a full investigation. And it wasn't until yesterday that the new state police colonel announced she was going to launch an investigation. And that's what should have happened at the beginning. This is not a routine, as Baker also suggested. This was kind of routine, like they change police reports all the time. This was not routine.
That would be just as bad if this, it were true.
From what I understand, they may change like grammar and things like that. And the arrest report had already been submitted to court, mm-hmm. so they took it away from court and changed it. That may be illegal. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly a lot of questions that have to be answered here, no matter if Governor Baker wants to answer them or not.
Now, I understand that police unions are criticizing the governor's handling of this.
Yes, they are. They for exactly that reason, that there was not a full investigation launched. They filed a complaint demanding an internal review by internal affairs and police. And what you need, I think what you really need, is an independent investigation.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if the police colonel can do an independent investigation. Someone needs to do an independent investigation.
Mariama, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I actually feel a few ways. One, nothing should be done for one person because of their the stature of their family that's not done for someone else. Now, here's what actually I think we haven't talked about at all. What the they were asking to be removed were statements that she made that were highly problematic.
This is the daughter of the judge.
The
young woman who had been arrested.
That were inappropriate. And the reasoning was that those statements had nothing to do with her crime, which was driving under the influence, right? I actually am not necessarily against that. I want to have a deeper conversation about it. If you've clarified what the person did wrong, do you need to add other things that make them look worse? Now, if we're going to be about grace, and generally I have to advocate for that, then it should be across the board.
Right.
Is that the same kind of grace that is extended to other people? If we want to have an overall, let's be gracious to people and not make them look worse than we need to, I'd love to see if that's going to be state police policy. But if it's not policy for everyone, then it shouldn't have been policy for her.
It's not policy for everyone right now.
Well,
they put these stuff like that in reports all the time.
I was under the assumption. I have experienced that personally with young people where I'm like, what does this have to do with the other things? So, but if the police want to be more gracious, let's have that conversation. But not because your daddy's a judge.
Yeah, I mean, the question is how far up the chain of command this went. The Secretary of Public Safety is a former colleague of the not only the DA, but of the judge. They all work together in the Worcester County DA's office. So that raises questions right there, I think. And that's the question for Baker, how far up this is going to go.
How far up do you think it's going to go, Joe? I don't know predicting this,
and it's going to be tough for the police to do it if it involves the public safety secretary, who Governor Baker has already exonerated, by the way. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to go back and say, oh, wait a minute, no, he actually did know about it. I'm not sure about that.
Wow. I think the story says a lot about how politics in Massachusetts still works to this day. Well, we've got just enough time in our left here to do our hubbubs, and that's hopefully the good news, a little bit good news,
yeah.
or maybe not terrible news that we should talk about this week. Reverend Y. Hammond?
Well, I noticed that there are a group of young people that are tussling with the president over climate change. As we know, unfortunately, he used his time in the climate summit to promote coal. So I'm thankful to our young people for leading the way. We'll see if the court allows them to keep their lawsuit. And they actually started the lawsuit under President Obama. And it basically says that this planet is theirs, and the federal government should not stand in the way of the work that needs to be done to make sure our kids inherit a planet that's worth living in. So kudos to our young people in Washington State, and hopefully they will help us have some common sense climate change policy.
Climate change lawsuit. Joe Battenfeld?
There is an ongoing story at the State House that's sort of been percolating, which is State Rep Paul Heroux, who was just elected mayor. He is saying he's going to hold both seats, mayor and state rep.
Oh, yeah.
And this is,
yeah.
We talk about double standards.
Yeah.
They forced the mayor of Lawrence, former state rep, also William Lantigua, to give up his seat. And they're not doing the same thing for this guy. So why is that? They're going to have to face this. I think the speaker may not want to face it, but I think he's going to have to face this. And there's no way you should be able to hold both jobs.
No, yeah, that's definitely not okay. All right, well, I'm bringing the lighthearted fare to our hubbubs this week because it's I believe this is the 100th anniversary of the Halifax explosion, and of course in honor of Boston helping Nova Scotia following that major explosion a century ago, the Canadians send us a Christmas tree every year. And so this week, this year's gift tree has been selected and cut down, and it is from Bob and Marion Campbell. They have donated a tree that's over 42 feet high. It's a white spruce. And I think this is, if I remember, oh yeah, I'm seeing it properly. This is the first time a tree from a privately donated tree has come from Cape Breton specifically. So they say, Bob and Marion Campbell say, we have been blessed to have a tree worthy of donation in recognition of the speedy and compassionate response by the people of Boston to the Halifax explosion. So there's a picture of the tree still on Bob and Marion's property. It looks beautiful. So I'm sure it'll look great when it's set up here in the city. So that's my hubbub for the day. Reverend Marianna White Hammond, minister of the Bethel AME Church in Jamaica Plain. It's great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Joe Battenfeld, Boston Herald political columnist and host of Battenfeld on Boston Herald Radio. Great to have you as well, Joe.
Thanks very much.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.